But more importantly, our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And this takes place in much warmer weather. This takes place along the Jordan River near Jericho. And it's just one of those moments that marks Jesus' ministry and the beginning of his ministry and an identity, a claiming, a naming that takes place in this story. This is how Matthew tells it. He says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'Jesus, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'John, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased.'" This is God's word for all people. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who indeed names his Son beloved and names us beloved as well. Amen. I wanted to begin first just by reading, since we are honoring and celebrating United Methodist Women's Sunday, the purpose of United Methodist Women. This was adopted by the General Conference, I think the previous General Conference, if not one before. It is, "United Methodist Women shall be a community of women whose purpose is to know God and to experience freedom as whole persons through Jesus Christ, to develop a creative, supportive fellowship, and to expand concepts of mission through participation in the global ministries of the church." And then out of that purpose comes four foci. And these are, one is to be a community of women. And it's really cool because as appointed clergy to a church, we become part of that community of women as clergy persons. So I get the privilege as clergy to be part of United Methodist Women. To be a community of women, to know God, to develop a creative and supportive fellowship, and to expand concepts of mission. I wanted to mention that and share that with you, because this morning, in as many ways, we find ourselves, and I'm going to use this step of the chancel as example, we stand at the banks of the Jordan River. This morning, in so many ways, we come to the story not in the water with Jesus, but we come with that crowd of people that would gather in this spot to hear John the Baptizer speak. Now, his location was intentional. It was at a major point in the Jordan River near Jericho where all pilgrims who were making their journey, maybe for the first time, making their journey to Jerusalem to go to Mount Zion and to see the temple, to see the smoke of the sacrifices being raised in obedience to God, and to gather with those faithful men and women from around the known world. It was at that point, especially those coming from Galilee and those faithful Jews who were avoiding Samaria so their feet would not even touch this despoiled land of Samaria. They would cross there near Jericho and they would take the Jericho road up from Jericho, 1,200 feet below sea level, all the way up to Mount Zion. And there was John preaching a message of repentance. He was saying, "Get ready for this journey. You are walking this way. You are physically nearing the temple of God. Should not your heart, should not your mind, should not your lives be cleansed as well?" John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It was a baptism of commissioning. It was a baptism of a way of preparing the people for the rest of that journey, to remember who they are and to remember the God who has covenanted with them, who has made them God's people. And so we're part of that crowd. We're there at the banks of the Jordan River. Maybe we're there because, well, we have to be there because mom and dad made us come. Maybe we're there because we are hungry, we're thirsting. We know that this journey to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, it means something, but we don't know what it means. And so part of the journey is finding out what God is saying to us. The journey is not easy. Some people have spent months making this journey and will then take months to go back home. But they're here. They're here, like us in this crowd, waiting for the next thing, maybe yearning for that new day when God's kingdom would fall upon the world and all would be made right, meaning those horrible Romans would get out of our land and we could be a free people again. They're there. We're there at the Jordan River. Maybe we're there and we're with our ailing parents. And we're wondering, is this year the year that they are going to still be healthy? Are we going to have to care for them more and more as we watch our parents age? Or maybe our children are sick and ill and we're worried about, are they going to make it through the year? We sacrificed everything to make this journey. We want them healthy enough to get to Jerusalem, but healthy enough for the trip home. Maybe we're not sure about our business. Maybe we're not sure about our own relationships. Maybe this journey is supposed to bring us together, but right now, God, it feels like this journey is tearing us apart. Maybe it's good that we can walk silently and apart from each other. Maybe we can find you in the midst of that space between us. Everyone is standing there at the banks of the Jordan River. People like us 2,000 years ago, but they're like us. They've heard the news about the unrest in Parthia, modern-day Iran, but it would have been Parthia in those days. They knew. They knew that uncertainty. They are desiring peace. They felt the pain of war. They felt the angst of war. They knew hunger, disease. They knew human life in the ways that was contemporary for them as we experience it now. And yet they're standing there here along this river. Not a big river. We sing a much bigger river in our hymns than what it actually is. It's a glorified stream in places. But at this point, it is rather big. It's big enough that when you go in, you could get maybe your legs pretty good and wet so that when John would baptize you or his other followers, like maybe Simon and Andrew would baptize you, you would feel the power of the water. You would remember when the stories of when your ancestors crossed that river in to the promised land, the land that God had promised. You would know that that river is a river of stories, of memory, but also a sign of the future too, of the Messiah. And so when you see John having this conversation with this unknown person from Galilee, who's telling, and John is saying to him, I should be baptized by you, it catches your attention. You wonder what it's about. You wonder why would John be hesitating? Everybody needs this baptism. Everybody needs this repentance. Why would he be hesitating? And yet you see the shrug of the shoulders. You see him, for the first time maybe as you're waiting, seeming to almost hesitate as he leans down to get the water. Maybe he's going to pour water over Jesus' head, or maybe dunk some. We don't really know exactly which way Jesus is baptized, but we know he's in the river. And so John offers his baptism. Now Matthew is clear, at least in the way Matthew writes the gospel. The vision of the dove descending as the Holy Spirit is something only Jesus sees. The way in which Matthew describes it. And I love the word because we just don't use it. Alighting. The Holy Spirit alighting upon him. It's mentioned a couple times in the Old Testament, talking about people sitting on their animals, but we just don't use that term. I'm going to go and alight in my terrain on my way home. You know, I love that language. We just never use it. But this image of this dove setting upon Jesus, a sign between God the Father and Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is with them. For us as Christians, we see the Trinity in that moment. We see the fullness, and as example, the fullness of God in that moment of unity in the midst of distinction. And so on the shoreline of the Jordan River, on the banks, we don't see that. That's not part of our story, our experience of that day, but we hear the voice. Matthew is clear in his gospel account that the voice is not just in Jesus' head. This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. This is my son, the beloved, in him I am well pleased. And we're here along the shore. And there's Jesus in the water. And we hear that. I imagine if we're paying attention, there's a hush in the crowd in that moment, wondering what is going on. Did you hear that? Maybe that hesitation that we have even today when there's a noise in a room and you're hoping that maybe you're not the only one hearing it. I was in a conference meeting up in Traverse City this week for getting ready for annual conference. And at one point, the room we were in, there was this strange kind of whistle noise. And one of the participants smiled and she said, I hope I'm not the only one hearing that noise. So many of us wanted to say, what noise? But we didn't. We all agree that, yes, there was the noise there. And so it's that moment when you're standing there, and maybe it's with your spouse, your children, or a friend. Maybe it's a total stranger next to you and you're leaning over. Did you hear that? Did you hear the words that I heard? This is my son, the beloved. In him I'm well pleased. Did you hear that? And then there's that relief when you see that nod. I heard it too. Now granted, this is a crowd full of people. John always had a big crowd on the shores of the banks of the Jordan River. There's a good chance not everybody heard it because not everybody was paying attention. Sometimes we're too busy to hear God speaking to us. There's too much going on. And so we're at that banks and we're waiting for the next thing to happen and we miss that voice. But not everybody missed it. And so we have heard the voice too. And we see Jesus in the river. And we need to make a choice. Is that Jesus? Is that Jesus worth following? Is that Jesus the beloved of God? Is Jesus the one whom God says, in him I am well pleased? Is Jesus in God's heart based on those words? C.S. Lewis talks about the trilemma of, is Jesus, is he a liar, is he a lunatic, or is he Lord? And those are one of those moments in Matthew's gospel, because Matthew's clear right from the beginning. Jesus is the Son of God, the living Son of God. There is no doubt in Matthew's gospel. And we here at the banks of the Jordan River, we look at him and we have to make a decision. Are we going to believe the words that we heard? Are we going to let those words shape how we see Jesus as we receive Jesus into our lives? But then will we allow those words to shape our lives as we live Jesus in the community around us? Will we treat others as beloved in the way that God has said Jesus is, in the way that Jesus treats us as beloved, says that we are beloved? In our baptism, as we baptize our youth, our children, our infants, our adults, we remind ourselves that these words that God said to Jesus, Jesus says to you and to me, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in him, in her, I am well pleased. In him or in her, the world will see me, will see my love and my life and my peace and my forgiveness. They will see me present in the midst of the families who are grieving an airliner shot down over Iran, grieving the continued devastation in Puerto Rico, grieving the bushfires in Australia, grieving the very violence in our own communities, maybe in our own neighborhoods or in our own homes. Will we see Jesus there? And will we see Jesus' response coming through us to the people around us? Our United Methodist women here at St. Paul's have been committed to standing along the banks of the Jordan River and seeing Jesus for who he is and inspiring us in amazing ways as a congregation to serve the Lord, to be a sign of God's love, to name those around us as beloved by their commitment of community building through fundraising. And the amount is amazing, the nearly $61,000 raised. But what's even more amazing are the lives blessed by those gifts. The lives of women in crisis, of children in need, of families getting by, and how that giving transforms their lives. It's our way, and one of the ways that we as a congregation say that the people around us, we believe when God says that these children of God are beloved, that they are beloved, as we are beloved. And so our compassion is motivated because that person in the river is the beloved Son of God. And he turns and he looks at each of us and he says, you are beloved, and you are beloved, and you are beloved of God as well. And because we have this relationship, and because we're debating or not on the banks of the Jordan River, do we step into that water and join him, or do we wait? We are compelled by love to move a little step closer to him. All of a sudden, that river is no longer a boundary or a barrier. It's an invitation into a new life. It's an invitation into a new way of living. And I think about January 12, 2020, and the banks of the Jordan River where I have the privilege of standing here as senior pastor of St. Paul's United Methodist Church. And I think about this year of ministry that we are going to be unleashing in our lives and in our community, where we continue to be the gift when we commit to live out our purpose, which is to love the people around us, to worship God, to serve as Jesus serves, to be an example of God's love by how we serve one another and by growing in our faith. I think about how we stand here at the banks and we're getting ready to respond to that one in the river who is beloved of God and whom God says, I am well pleased. But then I think about our conference, I think about our denomination as well, as we stand at the banks of this Jordan River, knowing that this will be a year of change as General Conference meets in May, from the protocol from January 3rd that was shared in the media to the other plans that are coming to General Conference. We know that the one who is the beloved is calling us to be something different as a global denomination. We're going to look different in terms of our structure, but our focus will be Jesus. Our focus will be being this church that is living out this call of sharing the love of God as we love God completely and then as we love our neighbor as ourselves. We stand at this bank. And then I think about this too as I stand at the banks of the Jordan River here at St. Paul's. As I see a lot of baby boomers. I see a good number of Generation X, but the two largest generations in our country right now are millennials and Gen Z. And that's our mission. That's part of our mission this coming year, is how do we grow in our mission and ministry to those two largest generations that are surrounding us in this community. They're growing up. The oldest of the millennials, I think, are in their 40s or turning 40. And Gen Z is moving out of college into the workplace. They're already in the workplace. That's our mission field. That's our mission field, even as we continue to do ministry to our Gen X congregation and community and our baby boomers and our silent generation, the greatest generation. Right now, there are six generations. Adam Hamilton was saying that. There are six generations that are present within the life of our communities and the life of our churches. And God's word, the good news of Jesus Christ, speaks to each and every one of them, but speaks a little differently to each everyone, too. We hear it differently because of our generational experiences. But here we are at the banks of the Jordan River looking around as a congregation, and we see who we are and we see who we yearn to be and we see the mission field around us. And it seems like a lot. But the one in the river is the beloved. The one in the river is well pleased of God. And the one who stands in the river, the one whom God called out, is turning now and calling us to follow, to believe, to live out this grace, to be this welcoming community that says God loves everyone. God's grace is available to all persons. And so we stand at the banks of the Jordan and we get ready. We get ready to take that next step into mission and ministry, in the midst of the same waters in which Jesus is baptized, into the same waters in which Jesus stands. And we see him, arms reached out, saying, come and join me. Follow me. Embrace me. Receive my love. Trust me. And know that I am with you, now and forever. That is our call. And so we will come into the Jordan, and we will be with Jesus here and now and in every day moving forward. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, you move in the midst of our lives even now. We stand at the banks of the Jordan River awaiting the next moment. You promise to love us. You've promised to be our guide, our inspiration. And even now, you are here with us. Help us. Encourage us. Strengthen us. Prepare us for the ways in which we will be the good news to this community this year. The ways in which you will use St. Paul's for good, for grace, and for healing. God, we're ready. We've heard your voice. We believe that your Son is the beloved Son of God. May we follow. Amen.